Hi, I'm Erin James Brown. I am the Director of Discipleship for Urban Village Church in Chicago. My role there as the Director of Discipleship is small groups and faith formation, continued education. And I've been at Urban Village Church for about almost 3 years now, which is really exciting. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I've done in my time there. When I arrived to UBC in the fall of 2014, we had about 25 small groups on the rolls, like 25 groups that were meeting throughout the city, which sounds like maybe to you a lot. As a new person coming on, I was quite intimidated. And as I went through and kind of listened to what these small groups were doing, how they were meeting, and how things were going, I quickly realized that while we had 25 groups on the rolls, probably none of those were functioning healthily, that nobody was showing up for them, that our small group leaders were feeling really tired and burnt out because they were trying to create curriculum on their own. And so I was looking at trying to build a new structure for us to build healthy relationships with one another from there on out. And what I decided after doing this campaign of listening with our small group leaders was to start a storytelling campaign. We began telling stories to one another. And so we would begin new small groups of about 8 to 12 people. They could be people who had been around for a really long time, people who had just shown up and walked through the doors that Sunday. It didn't really matter, but we would cluster them together based on where they lived or based on their stage in life. And I gave the group leader, there was one group leader, the goal, that your goal in this time of storytelling is to share authentic stories. That's the only goal, to share authentic stories. And because I'm kind of a control freak and because I also like to have lots of information from other people as well, I then said, and to share an authentic story, here is how you do it. So I gave a list of guidelines. And what I told the group leaders is for 4 months, that's a third of a year, for 4 months, you're going to simply sit in someone's home or in a coffee shop and share spiritual autobiographies. Once a week, you would come and two group members would be invited to share their story that week. They would know ahead of time so they could do preparation if they needed that. And you would set a timer for 20 to 30 minutes based on what your group needed. But that's also because some people, like me, like talking and can talk for as long or as little as you will give us. And so if I know there's a timer going, I'll speed and talk a little faster. So that timer also gave the group like this shared understanding that this story's not going to go on forever and I'm not going to get bored. And as people started sharing their stories, I would also give them guidelines of questions. So I don't know about you, maybe your spiritual autobiography is a little winding and kind of doesn't always make sense. Or maybe your spiritual autobiography feels like not really interesting, don't know where it's going. And so I gave them also guidelines about to share with their people in their group. If you were to think about your life in chapters, how would you break up your life like that? Or if you were to think about characters in your story, who would be the primary characters you would want people to know about? And so people would come each week. Most of the time they would come with notes, prepared to share their own stories if they needed notes to share their story, but they wanted to be authentic to who they were. And they would sit around and tell their personal spiritual autobiography. And some of my group leaders were really great. They were like former teachers or whatever. And so they would say, if while someone's sharing their story, we're not going to interrupt them, but if you feel deeply connected to what they're saying, just hook your fingers together. That resonates with me. Or if someone shares something and they're getting choked up and need a little bit of encouragement to keep going, maybe just in American Sign Language, applauding someone is shaking your fingers. So maybe you just give them a little bit of energy to keep going. And then at the end of somebody's story, people are allowed to respond. Thank you for sharing. Or I felt connected to you in this way. Or somebody would ask a silly question like, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? And this became a ritual of sharing and building relationship with one another. Stories change our brains. I don't know if you know this, but when we hear someone's story, or when we're engrossed in a book, or when we're listening to a really good podcast, or when we're watching a movie, hormones are released in our brain that are almost like arousal hormones. We release stress, we become more relaxed, and we become open and engrossed in whatever's happening or the story that we are taking in. You might notice this when your breath quickens, when the story gets really exciting. What I do is I like grip things really tightly. Stories can transport us to new places, but stories also, because we are social creatures, help us know who to trust, when to trust that person. Because early on in human evolution, stories helped us know this person's a friend or a foe, and I should follow them to help get my next meal, or relationship with them will be beneficial. Stories rapidly help people assess relationship, but also rapidly help people build relationship. So stories help us understand that I can open up to you, and when you open up to me, there's also this hormone released in our body that helps us feel more generous. Because we feel empathetic to the person who shared their story, because we know that they have heard and understood our story, because we understand each other and are coming from different places, but we have this new shared understanding of each other by hearing one another's story, we then feel more generous, more likely to give financially or give of our time, but also more generous with forgiveness. When we hear someone's story and we know that they understand our story and where we're coming from, we're more likely to come back in a situation of conflict and seek repair and restoration, rather than ghosting on somebody, as a common phrase used nowadays, rather than just checking out. And we are a people of story. As people of faith, we live in this long history of stories that have been told for generations, that have been passed down to us, whether it's the story of the people of Israel, whether it's the stories that Jesus told to his disciples, which were not, I mean, they're beautiful stories, but they're not great stories. They're kind of short and they're kind of complicated. Like, I wish Jesus gave us a little bit more meat, but maybe that's the beauty of the story, is that it can be interpreted in so many new and different ways. We are people who ritualize story and tell the same stories at the same time every year. We are people of story, so reclaiming story is important for us. But the most important thing for us to do is that sharing of your story and being vulnerable with people, growing in empathy, is a little terrifying. What it's called of us as leaders in our churches is we have to go first. We have to be willing to open up of our own selves. Not the stuff that we're currently going through that we have to be processing with our therapist, but things we've already been through and worked through, the wisdom that we can share with others, to know that we have survived things as well. At Urban Village Church, we had a small group that was about 12 people, and then one couple in our small group, they had told these stories, and then they decided to keep meeting, reading through the Bible. Then one of the couples found out they were pregnant, and they were so incredibly excited. They were having twins, and they went to their small group, and their small group was freaking out because they knew not only was this marriage going to change, but their group dynamics were going to change too and have to adapt to these new children. The way they had been meeting in the past was not going to be the way they meet it in the future. And then the couple went into labor really early. The babies were born at 32 weeks. They were tiny and rushed to the neuro ICU. One of the babies was diagnosed with a brain disorder. The babies were on feeding tubes. And so they went to their small group because they knew their small group had been praying for them and caring for them in this whole time, but also because they knew their small group had the expectation, you're going to tell us what's going on because we know your story and you know ours. And so they came to their small group and shared what was happening. And the group didn't disband. They rallied around this couple. And they said, well, looks like you have a lot of diapers, cloth diapers. And during small group time,
I can set a timer and go do laundry. Or at the end of small group, we're not just going to leave and leave dishes for you anymore. We're going to discuss while we do dishes together too. Or I work a weird schedule and I work in the evenings. So during the day, when you need somebody to hold one baby while you're hooking the other one up to a feeding tube, I can come over and do that. And now on Sunday mornings, these babies are big and healthy, and they are bounced in people's arms. I don't know that they recognize who their parents are on Sunday mornings because they are just passed around. And they have become a story of the community, too. These babies, their story is the story of those leaders who come along and do laundry as well. Their story is wrapped up with one another, and they will be able to share that story as they grow up, too. So while sharing story is really terrifying, it is also has the power to open up space in our communities for people to feel more connected with each other and more connected with us. At Urban Village, we've done a lot of things to be really creative with sharing story and opening up space for that. You'll be receiving a handout at the end of the day that has a list of like action steps, things that you can be doing, books that you can be reading in small groups that help like break the ice when telling story seems really terrifying, or movies to be watching and then discussing with one another. One of the best ways to do it is testimony too. Sharing story, and that's something I know Molly talked about a lot this morning, and you saw it from Karen and Carolyn. One of the best ways to do that is starting tomorrow, as you preach or teach, leading with your own personal story and inviting others to share theirs.